must have forgot, forgot, forgot. When they stole my gold medal and soul career, let's look back at my whole career, cause y'all must have forgot, forgot, forgot. The best pound for pound is mine. Hit Percy Harris with four hooks at one time. Y'all must have forgot, forgot, forgot. When I beat Bernard Hopkins and won the IBF, the right was hurt, beat him with the left. Y'all must have forgot, forgot.
Salutations out there. This is the Firestarter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I'm TKO, and I got my main man, K-Bad.
What's up, y'all?
And my man, Boss. What's up, Bob?
What's up, y'all?
Ain't nothing, fellas. Kenny, how you doing, man?
Tired.
I knew he was going to say that.
Yeah. Tired.
You sound tired, bro. Tired.
Yeah, tired. Just mentally, just physically, man, just tired, you know. I just really just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Because I got to be right back there first thing in the morning again, so. Yeah. Launching the network, man, is it's not easy. You got to wear a lot of hats, and yeah, so.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Bob, how you feeling, man?
How you think our dog Byron feel, dog? He launching networks all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you know.
Hey,
if you want to get to that level, you know.
Yeah. He in the control room every day.
Yeah, dog. He hands on, you know.
Building them graphics.
I was about to say, I don't like that graphic. Byron be having that finger over people's shoulder, you know, like, mm-mm, I don't like that.
That's writing them VOs, you know.
Byron, dog. You see that nigga rejecting scripts, you know? People probably be like, this nigga don't even, you're not even supposed to see him. Byron like, nope. I review everything.
Yeah.
Abin on some real shit. I be in my own little world when I be out on my walks and I just start cooking off shit, you know? So, I forgot why Chappelle was trending again, yeah. And I was just like, yeah, people really hate this dude now, yeah. And I was just laughing because, like, obviously we don't hate him. But it just occurred to me, like, that people who on the other side of it now, like, their sense of humor sucks. And that's why people shouldn't be trying to police comedy, because I got a little exercise for y'all. What clip would y'all pull of this nigga throughout his career and make it a meme if you hated him now, you know? What would be the first thing you pull of all the shit he's ever done to make fun of him, you know?
To prove to somebody that Dave Chappelle is a piece of shit?
Not even just to make fun of him, you know? Not even that, you know? I'm just saying, like, think of all the films and shit he's done. Just like what piece of footage would you pull, you know?
Lady Professor.
That's meme worthy, you know.
Lady Professor.
I think if we stay on this long enough, y'all reach the point where I got to, and I cook for a good 10 minutes, you know. It's him falling out the plane, you know. Or being thrown out the plane, you know.
And Connie.
Yeah.
Hey, I never would have. I wouldn't have thought of that, you know.
Hey, you know, it's so good, you know. I was like, if I hated this nigga, you know, he'd be falling out that plane every time he come up on my timeline, you know. But nobody ain't used it yet, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd be like, yeah, off you go, you know. Like, that's how I feel about you now, you know. You out the plane, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's on YouTube, so, man.
Oh, yeah. It's red. Oh, you know I pulled it up. I forgot why. You know why I came up, young? Because I was telling y'all niggas about, what was that I said? Button. Button and his crew kept tanking fucking Con Air for goddamn face off. So I started thinking about Con Air, and I just started, because Chappelle was trending at that moment too. Dog, I just started cooking about him falling out of that plane, and I pulled that shit right up, you know. Yeah. I was dying laughing, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, you know. Me and Tone used to cook off that for a minute, you know. They shipped his ass right on out, you know. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody really hate him. They could definitely gift that up.
Dog. They could make it a meme.
Yeah, you ever seen like the meme with a gif of the wrestler Rey Mysterio like slipping out of the ring and and niggas be like either in or like they reverse that joint and be like out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could have Dave falling that much from playing into some bushes, you know.
Yeah.
Real easily, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah. You know? They can have him bombing motherfucking Nagasaki, you know. They can have him doing all kind of shit, you know. Like, yeah, you're a joke bomb and shit and then blow up motherfucking Japan and shit. Yeah, you know.
You could fall the plane telling a joke. Motherfucker, Homer slide back into the bushes, you
know? Yeah. So, yeah, if anybody ain't seen it, yeah, man. I know people done seen Con Air. You know, it's been like motherfucking 20 plus years, but shit, close to 30. Con Air came out, what, like 95?
Yeah, that shit old,
yeah. Yeah.
Nick hasn't had his original hairline back then, you know?
Yeah, basically. Nick had his motherfucking original face. Seen him lately? He don't look right, you know?
Yeah, man. I know he's catching up to these motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah, I know that ain't all just makeup with Cage, you know? Like, something going on there, you know?
Hey, man, Travolta, man. It's the face and the fucking hairlines, you know?
It'd be like that Botox shit. When you catch them at the wrong moment, I feel like people who get that Botox shit, all them famous people, they need to be out of the public eye for a good like motherfucking 6 months, you know. Because I remember when Tom Cruise got that shit, that nigga face was looking fat as shit, you know. But now he look normal, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's like different levels of it too, like. For some reason, some people get it done right, and some it's like the fucking the hair transplant shit, you know? It's like some motherfuckers do it right, like Safari shit look legit, you know? But some of these niggas, joints be looking fucked up. Like it took Jamie Foxx about 8 years to get that joint right, you know?
Hey, did even one of y'all like, see him partying on Stephen A. Smith today? He was at Cowboys camp.
Nah,
who was partying on him?
Jamie Foxx.
Nah, I ain't see it.
Nah, I just brought it up because Tone mentioned, like, his hairline. This nigga had a nerve to say something about Stephen A. Smith's hairline, y'all.
Really?
Nigga, I craned my neck all the way back.
It's because it's been about 10 years, you know? Like,
dog.
People know him for that, shit. Man. Like, he good money now, you know? At first, niggas used to play shit, but damn, like. How many movies has he made since he got that shit done?
A few. That shit was looking crazy a few times.
Yeah, them shit's looking like them motherfucker McDowell arches, you know? Like, yeah. Real narrow, and it came down the middle, you know? Like, yeah.
It was one. That joint was like a little... It looked like a little motherfucking narrow, like box was in the middle of his head. It looked like motherfucking somebody took like that motherfucking tesseract and painted around it, you know.
Hey, yeah, it looked like that tunnel on that train to Busan, you know. Airline to Busan.
Yeah, that shit looks great. I just wonder what object they used to paint that joint, you know?
That's an early motherfucking internet meme, too, you know? Somebody was like, nope, this ain't right, young, and I'm about to expose. They took all them pictures, young, put them motherfuckers in the Brady Bunch box, young.
Yeah, his shit look crazy. Yeah. I wonder if it was all the same barber fucking him over, you know, till they got to that, till they perfected it, or did he have to go through like different barbers, you know?
You mean for Jamie Foxx's hairline?
Yeah.
Somebody
we had to get more surgery.
On YouTube, did like a whole video. I think somebody posted it on the Collie. They was like, "Yeah, man, this dude can look at people who've had hair transplants, and he can look at a series of pictures and tell you like exactly what type of surgery it was and all this type of stuff." And this dude, I guess he does it. I assume he does it. And he looked at a series of photos of Jamie Foxx like over the years, and he broke down like each time, like this is what kind of surgery it was, this is what, you know, how many, you know, grafts he probably had implanted and all this stuff, like this is the name of the surgery he had. And he was basically saying like, yeah, when his hairline was looking like that, when he had like that little box, little hairline and shit, like yeah, somebody, it was just a botched job. Yeah, somebody just botched it. Mm-hmm. Then he went and had it done it the correct way, which is what he got now. But he got a lot of nerve talking about somebody's hairline. I mean, yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild.
I just don't know how you got all that money and you getting your hairline done in fucking the DR, young. Like, you getting a whack joint when it's like trained professionals that be doing. Like, what's the name joint was right for a minute before you just like went all the way bald and gray? Catino, young. He had a legit job, like a one off, young.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically what Jamie got, that's probably what Deion got. Like Deion, like he paid, you know, good money, and yeah, he got his joint done right the first time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. All right. Can you dare I ask what's going on, man? Like, how you been, or you just good, and you just want to get to that at a later date, you know, when you get settled in.
Yeah, let me get settled in first.
Okay. Bob, what's up with you, man?
Nothing, man. I'm good. Like, I ain't got no complaints, bro. Workload has lightened up a bit. So, yeah, my mood done been better this week, you know. So, kids about to go back to school.
It's crazy how the damn summer done flew past, man.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, man. My daughter done with math camp. She start tennis camp next week. So, we'll see how that goes. I'm going to just do... We're going to take it a week at a time. Like, I told her, I was like, if you like it next week, you can do it the week after that as well. And then, like, they back in school in a couple of weeks, so... Yeah. So, I'll report back on that next week. We'll see how it's going, you know. So, we'll see if she's any good. Get out here and make me some money.
Right.
I be acting like what's that asshole parent, you know? Was it Capriotti's dad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the stand with them gold chains, you know? Making her make that money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's gonna be me, you know? Mm. I don't care. Y'all think I'm playing, you know? Like, I'm trying to play this cool. Let her show any proficiency in some goddamn tennis, you know? Let that coach come back and be like, oh, she got a lot of potential, blah, blah, blah. Nigga, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, nigga. Yeah, dog. So, right now, it's just fun. Like, just give her something to do, whatever, see where her interests are. But, don't tell a nigga like me nothing like that. Yeah, lose my mind, you know?
Yeah, that shit's a fucking job. I be hearing about, you know, fucking kids' parents supporting them through football and basketball, but that tennis shit, like told you, Chandy quit his side gig for the 76ers to, you know, help train his daughter full time and shit, man. That nigga be like, he tired of shit all the time, and like that tennis shit just doesn't stop, man. It's only damn drills and fucking tournaments and practice shits you gotta go to, man. It was like, dog, he had no idea it was even more stressful than football or basketball.
Yeah, because they can't do it by themselves, you know.
Yeah.
They can't. It's got to be much more structured. The getting the practice part of it, the actual getting better. Like, yeah. they need a partner. You know, should they need their coach with them? Like, because it's like so much technique involved, you know. Like, it's footwork. You know, like it, positioning. Even before you even get to the actual swing of it, you know. Yeah. It's a lot, you know. Tennessee golf, girl. Like, no joke.
Yeah. Then having a girl, man, you know. It's gotta be where the wolves, you know, so you always wanna be on the spot, yeah, you know.
For sure. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
I'm good. Having some issues at the crib, some issues at work. People catching my fucking that CV. But bought my car last week, KB.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just it's made more sense, Sean. Like, you ain't lying when you say there's no fucking used cars out here. It was like two sets of people came in that joint. Like, just got turned away. Like, nope, we don't got nothing. You know, like you can buy that i8 though, but we're not here for the i8 or the motherfucker, the M5, you know. It's my used car. But
You can get an M5.
You could drop that 150, you know? Stock, you know?
I don't even want to know how much a brand new i8 is.
Bruh, my fucking loan agent and shit, man, said he just bought a used one because, like, them joints was sitting there, man, and he was like, man, even this shit, I'm worried about, you know, repairs and shit, because he was like, yeah, one owner, some dude lived in fucking Florida half the year, lived in D.C. the other half the year, but he's like, man, the extended warranty ran out and shit, so anything like that, it's going on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, the nigga was like, man, it's even now or never for i8, man. I was like, you better than me, bro. That'd be never.
Never. I'd have to have Bill Gates' money to buy that car. No bullshit.
I wouldn't have to have Bill Gates' money to buy that car, young. But to buy that car out of warranty, young, I've done one Beamer out of warranty where, like, I had a year worth of warranty left when I first got my first joint used, young. After that, man, them damn repairs, young, going from Honda repairs to Beamer repairs?
Yeah, yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah.
I said, never again,
yeah,
young.
Never.
And so I extended that warranty for 3 years, young. 3 years, this joint will be gone. All right, fellas. Let's hit some sports real quick, man. What's going on with NBA, man? I want to say we haven't recorded since Bill Russell passed.
Yeah,
man. So first and foremost, you know, RIP to one of the GOATs, one of the elder statesmen. Like, you know, could very easily made him a logo of something dealing with the NBA. I know that they made the Finals MVP a Bill Russell honor a few years ago. So got to get some of his flowers before he passed. But yeah, just a true elder statesman and a great. Of our league, man. Of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, broke a whole bunch of braces. There's a whole bunch of rich guys living in the hills of Beverly and, you know, the high rises of New York because of men like Bill Russell that paved the way, man. So definitely want to give him his probably just due, man. RIP.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna miss him at just the various events like Hall of Fame induction, All Star. like he was a staple at those events. So, and he had a good sense of humor. Like,
yeah, missed that laugh. You know, he was real tickled with that laugh.
Yeah. So, yeah, just you know, but it was another you know. I forgot who else passed recently, but it was just like, yeah, I ain't sad, cause like they lived to see like had a great life and lived to see an old age.
Vince Scully.
Yeah. But I thought it was somebody before that. It was somebody black who lived a minute, you know. And I was like, yeah, I ain't too sad about that. Like R.I.P. though.
You talking about Nichelle Nichols?
Yeah, she passed on the same day as Bill Russell.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. It could have been her though. But yeah, man, like people who live long and you know and have good lives for you know for the most part and accomplish a lot and going to be remembered. Yeah, like I don't really feel sad about that. If it ain't anything, I get real reflective and like I'm just like, God damn, I'm old. And it's also inspiring too. So, just thinking about like how much they accomplished and stuff. So, RIP to that trio, really.
Yeah, I had no idea Vince Scully did the catch also. Like you know. I knew about all the Dodgers great moments. I didn't even know it was him that called the Mets and Red Sox game 6 with Bill Buckner and Mookie Wilson, man. So, but he did move from Brooklyn to L.A. when the Dodgers moved, and he still did a lot of work in New York as well. So, but yeah, it was surprising to hear that he caught that fucking catch from Montana at the clock, you know. But he's did all sports, man. That's kind of what guys did back then, man. Like they just covered, you know, all the major leagues because they weren't getting paid as much as obviously they get paid now. Kind of like when you know football players work their car dealerships and shit in off season to supplant their fucking income. Like he's had to work, man, get a check, and part of like a lot of great history. So RIP to him as well. Yeah, but you guys have anything else basketball wise? Anything going on?
Nah.
Everybody just waiting to see where KD ends up. That's it.
Yep.
Okay, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts season with Brooklyn, man.
That's where it's going. That's where it's going.
He's under contract for what, 3 more years, John?
4 more years. Just sign the shit.
They gotta no. They
it's yeah. I don't even like talking about it because I've been saying the same thing. You know, this a power play. Like them dudes want to be there, but they want Marks and Nash to fuck up out of there. It's like bro, I forgot like what just happened with Woj. But he's been radio silent because I think he put out some like conflicting information from like what's really going on. Like Shams has been on top of this, and Nets beat writers have been on top of this. Like, bruh, first of all, the market not really there for either of them to get traded, and second of all, they don't really want to be traded. Like, they don't want to play with fucking Nash no more, yeah. They've lost complete faith in dude, yeah. And Marks, like the word is they upset about all them low ass guards that was on that roster, yeah. So we'll see. And now news is coming out. This is something this nigga Scoop Robinson reported like probably 2 months ago at the start of the summer. KD mad about it ain't no black people in the front office or on the coaching staff no more, really. That's another thing he's upset about. So,
oh yeah, boy,
man. Yeah. And I want to see if Stephen A. gonna take back what the shit he been talking for the last 2 years about how these niggas ain't go to bat for Ty Lue, and they wanted Nash up in there, and they talk all this shit about social justice and aim for black coaches, because, you know, now it's coming out that KD did reach out to Ty Lue about the job, and Marks wanted Nash, and because neither one of them niggas made a stink about it, that was like they approved the move also. That's the way it's been reported for like the last 2 years. Like, they approved it as if it was their idea. They just didn't say, fuck no, we don't want that dude. That's all that they, that's the approval. Because if they did say they don't want him, then it would have went the other way. So, yeah, man. I'm just player friendly when it comes to media, you know, because media only, except Shams, which is why I fucks with him, media only be reporting on what the front office and the coaches feed them, you know. So the shit is always slanted, you know. That's why Shams been kicking Woj's ass on this story. Because Rich Kleiman and I think Kyrie's mother-in-law, who is his agent, have been feeding Shams the information. Rich Kleiman is KD's agent. Rich Kleiman been wiping the floor with Woj on this. I mean, Shams been wiping the floor with Woj. You know? It's not even close. Like, you can't trust nothing Woj say about this story. You know? He been so wrong. And Windhorse sound like a goddamn fool. You know? He need to just stop reporting. If it ain't LeBron, he need to shut the fuck up.
All right. Moving on to the NFL. I think we talked about Deshaun Watson getting 6 games, and then the NFL trying to give him more, basically. They look, man, they put this woman in charge of this shit because they thought that she's going to give him a year. And when she came back with 6 games, and they know that 40% of their fan base is women, and they don't approve of that shit. Yeah, man, they went back to the drawing board to say, yeah, we want to give them more games. And if they do fight this young, like, wouldn't this make him eligible to play for fucking play week one if they you know, bring it back and try to recalibrate and give him more time? Because you can't enforce a fucking suspension when you're appealing it and trying to recalibrate it, right?
Tone, that's the part I'm not sure about, and I actually feel bad that I've been so busy I haven't really read up on it like that, so I don't even want to discuss that part of it without reading up on it, and, you know, that's just doing basic research. I didn't do that, so I can't say that sounds right, but I'm not 100% sure. For what I saw today, I think he's going to start in the preseason game on Saturday, but I'm not sure, you know, how that impacts the regular season.
So what's your gut feeling? That does he play week one? And more importantly, does he get a long suspension?
You know what, dog? It's obvious they want him to have a long suspension. So we'll see on that. As far as playing week one again, I just don't know, like, how that's going to work in regards to, you know, what's going on right now, the back and forth. I'm not 100% sure.
Because the fucked up part, and I'm sure he's thinking about this, him and his team are thinking about this, like, you know, worst case scenario, which is, I'm sure that they've thrown this around prior to, if he gets suspended for a whole year, they kind of built that into his contract, because he only gets paid with like $1 million this year, but he got a big ass signing bonus. So in essence, that was his salary for this year. Now if they start dipping this fucking suspension because they're dragging their feet into next year, when he starts getting, like, you know, his real money, that's when the fuck, that's when it's going to be a real problem. It's a problem now to some degree, but you know, he got paid last year to fucking basically sit out a whole year, and he get paid this year if they give him the year prior to the year starting. He'll be getting that, he'll be, have been paid for this year, but then when you get into next year, that's a whole another ball game. And I know that they ain't trying to you know, even get to that point. So,
well, he wouldn't want it to get to that point either. So if it comes down to it and they come back, give him a year, just take the year and just come back next year.
Yep. But they gotta make a decision. Like, we got a month. Not even. Not even a month, man. So if they come back in week two, like, oh yeah, we're gonna give you a year, and that dips into two games next year, you're gonna be happy about that shit. And they might appeal it. You know, that's another thing. Like, if you appeal it, then it's going to just drag on longer and longer. You know, this shit should have been settled, which is why I was adamant about, like, if I'm trading for this dude, man, like, I need to know this shit beforehand, you know? They should have forced the league's hand last year. But, you know, that's Cleveland's problem. And, obviously, Deshaun's problem. Saw the day it came out, but I haven't heard much from it afterwards. Who from the Dolphins got penalized by the league?
Huh?
Was it the franchise, the owner for the Dolphins?
It was the franchise.
Franchise, yeah. See, it's
Stephen like Ross, the owner. Yeah.
And so, what was their penalty?
I think it was a draft pick, and he got fined. It may have been over $1 million, but for somebody like him, that's a drop in the bucket. So,
yeah. So, he out here getting fined. Dan the Man is living his best life, huh?
I guess.
Didn't he have to testify in front of Congress a few weeks ago?
From what I understand, yeah. I don't know what he, you know, what was said, but yeah, apparently he did for, I think it was like 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, the kids got out of there in 15 minutes by, you know, pleading the fifth a whole bunch of times. But
right.
All right. Anything else you want to add from training camp for the Commanders? Anything else?
Yeah, Carson Wentz going to fuck everything up.
What you mean?
He going to fuck everything up. The offense ready to roll. But everything I'm reading about this dude, man, like, people have no idea where the ball is going from snap to snap. And this isn't against, you know, any type of rush or anything like that. This is against air. Balls in the dirt, balls sailing over people's heads. And I'm like, see, man, this is the best receiving core this team had in a long time. This actually may be the two best receivers we've had at the same time since the 80s. Since Auden Gary Clark. Terry McLaurin and John Dotson. Like, dog, they can be dynamic. People that know me know how I feel about Jahan Dotson, and everything that he's doing in training camp confirms what I've always known about him. He can be a star at the NFL level. He has star ability. There's nothing he can't do at the receiver position. But Carson Wentz is going to fuck it up.
All right. Something I wanted to ask you. Oh, yeah. How is Chase Young coming along?
Slowly, but they say he'll be all right for the regular season. He's coming along.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think the team can be decent, man. Like, if they just get decent quarterback play. But, like, apparently Carson Wentz is going to play a lot in the first preseason game. And apparently Ron Rivera and Scott Turner just aren't happy with how he's played so far during training camp. They would like to rest him, but they, like, I don't know. You know, like.
Who's your backup?
I mean, I would. I would like to say the backup should, who the backup should be and who the backup probably is. I would like to say that if Carson Wentz goes out there this season and stinks it up the first couple games, yeah, I want to see Sam Howell back there personally. That's who I would want to see come in. We know what Taylor Heinicke is. But I would rather be Sam Howell. But it's more than likely to tell out of you. So.
Okay. All right. Broken record here, as always. Giants season going to depend on their line play, man. We lost the lineman in, I guess, was it Monday? A fourth round pick, but this line needs a lot of help, and depth always helps, man. So that's a blow, but Evan Neal's looking pretty good. Andrew Thomas looking good. So those are two positives. So we'll see. Saquon looks good. Receivers look good, but you know, these guys are like real temperamental, man. So I definitely expect Sterling Shepard to get hurt. Kadarius Toney, you know, a lot of shifty movements in the backfield, a lot of sets that they're running right now. Hopefully you guys can stay healthy, man. And they can, man. Like, I expect us to be respectable, man. But again, line play, man. If you can't block for the quarterback or the running back, and for long seasons, man. Alright, Bob, you got anything?
Nah, not in football. Well, Patriots offense looking bad. So,
that's right, he did go there. Huh? Yeah, we play him tomorrow night. So that'll be my first look at both those teams. All right. What else we got? Oh yeah, baseball. Mets looking good. Seems like we've held off the Atlanta Braves charge the past few months, and took like 4 out of 5 from them. Swept the Yankees a couple weeks ago. Got DeGrom back. He just set a record for fastest to, was like 2,000 strikeouts, something like that. So him and Scherzer are looking good, and Edwin Diaz is best reliever in baseball. Some people saying he should be in line for a damn contention for the Cy Young. That's a bit of a stretch, like not necessarily like real, like whether he should or not, but realistically, you know, relievers just don't get that. So, and I'm just happy that they got some breathing room between them and the Braves. So, hopefully these guys can stay healthy, man. We didn't really make any super big moves at the trading deadline, but this team is really good, man. I looked up today, man. I saw the fucking Nats are like 32 and a half games behind us in the National League. Like, I ain't never seen no shit like that before fucking, like, for the end of fucking August, young. Like, they in rebuilding mode that fucking quick in 2 years, man. That's crazy. But, that's about all I got for baseball. Hello? Somebody popped in and out?
I'm still here.
Yeah, that was me. Okay. Yeah, I'm back.
Alright. Alright. Let's move on to our second segment.
Oh, yeah, that's about baseball. Hold up.
Time out, hold on. That's right. Slow your horses. Right.
You back, Kenny? You back, Kenny?
Huh? Well, we tied for a playoff spot. You damn right I'm back.
Okay. Who you slicing now, yeah?
Oh, dog, you know Ali Rutschman was the number one prospect in baseball, right? So the Orioles promoted him to the big leagues, and Baseball America just came out with their updated top 100, and another Oriole is the number one prospect in baseball, you know, and it's not Grayson Rodriguez. It is young Gunnar Henderson.
Young Gunnar.
Yeah, man. I mean, his name is Gunnar, but, yeah. Yeah. So, between him, Grayson, you got Kobe Mayo, Jordan Westbrook, D.L. Hall. Like, the Orioles, depending on what list you're looking at, whether it's Keith Laws, whoever it may be, you know, got seven of the top 100 prospects still left in baseball, you know. And, like, depending on the list, got, like, maybe four or five of the top 25. That's not including Jackson Holliday, who he just took with the number one pick. So, yeah, you know. Mike Elias, man, that's how you do a rebuild. Just be sorry. Just be sorry and just get the best players.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so hard, you know.
I saw somebody today post how Ozzie Newsome's first two picks with the Ravens were Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden. And he's like, yeah, I know it's a different sport or whatever, but yeah, Mike Elias, man, his first draft, 2019, he took Ali Rutschman, number one pick, then he took Gunnar Henderson. And I don't know if he was at the top of the second or if he was a supplemental. I think he might have been in that supplemental part of the first round, but those are the first two picks. And yeah, both of those are absolute home runs. But yeah, again, just being sorry, man, and just take your chances with the best prospects. But they've also scouted really well. They've invested a lot in, you know, Latin America because that was pretty much non-existent. So they've done a lot more investment there. But, again, man, just great scouting and just taking the best players who just happen to be at the top of the draft every year. And you might get you some good prospects. And I think people didn't expect the team to actually be competitive this year. But people now are saying, like, why don't they, like, call up Kyle Stowers and Gunnar Henderson this year instead of, you know, waiting to start their clocks next year? Because, yeah, the team is right now, they're tied for a playoff spot. So I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But, you know, just judging by the crowds that I'm seeing, like, baseball is back in Baltimore, it seems. And if the prospects end up being as good as they're being made out to be, I could see a World Series in the next 3 to 4 years. And that's not a slice. Like, the team is going to be that loaded.
You can get real good real quick, man.
Well, it takes time. I mean, you got to let these guys, you know, develop in the minors. But that's the thing. They've been developing. You know, the Orioles have been bad, you know, for a minute. So, having, you know, top prospects isn't a new thing. But these guys are actually developing like top prospects should, and that's the thing about it. So yeah, it takes time in baseball. Like, it's not something that you can just overnight just get good. Like, you know, you can invest a first round pick in a pitcher and his shoulder go out, and that might be it. You can draft somebody in the top five and all of a sudden, man, like that ball move a whole lot different at the major league level than it does at the college and high school level. And, you know, you might get somebody that looks like they'd be a can't-miss prospect, and next thing you know, they can't even get past the double-A level. So it happens. But, yeah, these dudes, they looking like they are really, like, truly, like, legit potential, you know, star players. So, yeah, it's exciting to actually see Baltimore competitive again, man. So, again, if these guys end up being as good as they're touted, yeah, we're going to see some deep playoff runs.
Yeah, I was I'll be getting schooled by my man, Super Mets fan, Black Steve at work, young. Like, he be praising the fuck out of Billy Eppler, our general manager. He was like, man, look, he has a plan here. He's staying the course. Like, because, you know, for a minute, everybody had dreams of grandeur of getting on Juan Soto. He was like, man, he's not giving up all this fucking young talent for somebody. Even though he's a proven star, it's like, man, he has a plan. It's working right now without him. So, like, man, he's going to stay the course. And I'm like, hey, until proven otherwise, man, like, you know, he just signed a 4-year deal and what, like, last fucking fall and shit, man. And, you know, in less than a year, man, you know, this team, it's not even like a sight shine. They are in contention to win World Series this year. They got two aces, a grand reliever and shit, man. Like, the bats for the first time in, you know, since, like, fucking the Beltran era and shit, man, are really live. Man, they're a good team, you know? Like, and you know fucking their struggles and my recounting of their struggles, like, you know, this is not even the shit when they had the three good pitchers a few years ago, man. Like, this is a complete team, you know? So, that quick. Front office moves win, man. Like, just not panicking and, like, selling your whole team off to get one or two bats and then, you know, you not only, like, depend on that to be successful in the present, but, you know, you're mortgaging your whole fucking future on it. So, yeah, man. Baseball. How about it? Body good?
Yeah, I'm straight.
All right, let's move on to our second segment, entertainment. And what you guys watching, man? KB, are you watching anything?
I'm trying to think what I've seen. I did finally see Nope.
What do you think?
Still trying to find it, you know?
I forgot all about it, you know?
Not even I liked it. I actually thought it was good. I didn't have high expectations. But I liked it. I actually like that joint.
Cool. I didn't hate it.
I actually walked out of there liking that more than I liked Us.
I can see that.
Now, if I go back and watch Us, because I've seen Us twice, and I haven't seen it in a while. Like, I saw it in theaters, and I saw it again. When it first hit cable, but I haven't seen it in a while. But just from what I remember, I wasn't too thrilled about it when I first saw it in the theater. And just walking out of Nope, if I had to rank his three movies, of course I have Get Out number one. I probably have Nope two, and I have Us third.
Yeah.
But I can understand why people may thought it was trash or. They didn't understand. Well, I completely understand that, man. But I actually thought it was pretty straightforward. That's the thing about it. I kind of liked it. Like, I didn't really think it was that complicated, to be honest. So,
right.
And
yeah, man.
I saw Prey. Fuck with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that joint was tight. You know?
Y'all like that joint?
Yeah. I like
hey.
It.
I fucked with it, you know.
It was, man.
It wasn't super action-y, if that's what you're about to get into, you know. It wasn't. But, yeah, I like the story.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, no, I was asking, like, I ain't seen it. Like, that's not really my bag. I just wanted to get y'all take on it.
Oh, I thought you saw it and didn't like it. No.
No, yeah, I'm asking because like, I say he had a whole bunch of different opinions on it. I just wanted to, you know, see what y'all.
I mean, the opinions I've seen, I mean, I know, it was going on social media. A lot of opinions I've seen, people really like it. And I've seen a lot of people say, like, the same thing I said. Like, I think it was easily the best Predator movie since. Well, to me, since the original. And, like I said, I thought it was a good story. I thought it had more than enough action. I mean, it was pretty much him just, you know, looking for people to murder. And I like the fact that it was probably like an hour and a half. It didn't need to be any longer than what it was. Like, they need to drag anything out. Like, I think they pretty much got to it, and they kept it a real tight hour and a half. I mean, to me, that's the type of movie that I would expect them to put in the theaters. Now, I can see them having a big powwow around a big table saying, like, you know, there's no real star power in this joint. You know, what's ready to pull? And, you know, we can put it on a streaming service and see how it does. But I think they'd have put that in the theaters, man. They would have been pleasantly surprised by the box office on it, just because I think people want to see movies like that, and it was good. That's the thing. Like, if I was an executive and I watched that joint, I would have stand on the table and be like, man, look, this is a good movie.
All right.
Let it generate some buzz, and like, let it just, you know, that word of mouth can be real strong with films like that, man. So yeah, I didn't understand that one. Like, maybe concurrently releasing in theaters and putting on Hulu was one thing, but for it just to be on Hulu, I'm like, yeah, that it's better than that, you know.
Yeah, it might be one of those situations. I wouldn't be surprised if they do release it in theaters in a couple of months or so, you know.
Yeah, if you haven't
just
seen it,
just to try, because this is basically the marketing for it right now, having it up on the platform. So yeah. Some people might go see it again just for the theater experience.
Yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. It's, you ain't got to go nowhere. Costs. Like, I assume most people got Hulu, so.
Yeah. I just gave up. I got every goddamn thing. You know? They got me. I just, nigga, I'm paying way more than I used to pay for cable. Like, they getting niggas, you know. I was sitting here thinking about, like, you know. Damn, they be conspiring against us. Like, you sign up for so much shit, you know, you don't even remember why you cut cable no more.
Yeah.
Like, I swear I'm about to go back to where I was probably like 10 years ago, you know, where, because I always get the shit like a day or a week later anyway. I'm not pressed to watch anything like right away, you know. So I can just go back to stealing.
Mm-hmm.
So have all them shits loaded up on a drive, and at the end of the week, like, on, you know, starting at like maybe 8 o'clock on Sunday, just binge all my shows for the week, you know. I'm seriously considering doing it. I bet I save close to my fucking $200 a month, you know.
Let's find somebody who can jailbreak a Fire Stick, you know?
Yeah, man. We had that conversation. Like, I never knew how that looked until my niece did it. And she showed me, like, how the interface looked. It's crazy, you know? I don't want all that.
But it's, like, alright, so you can get it jailbroken, and then it's a, an app or a platform called Real Debris. Like, you pay like a small fee, like every 4 to 6 months, something like that. And it's much more organized. It's much more organized, and you get like the highest quality right away. Because, like, you know, the Fire Stick, you kind of gotta, you know, bump your way around it to get the, you know, the highest quality, and might buffer a little bit. Like with the Real Debris shit, man, you get like 4K fucking Atmos sound right away, dog. Like, so right. You pay a little bit more. It's not a lot, you know. Fucking, it's only like $20 and shit, man. It's not. I don't even think it's that, whatever. But you know, yeah, it's ways around that. You know, just put it out there. You know?
Gotcha.
It's like every fucking job, like the fucking security guards know everything about piracy better than anyone in the damn IT department. You know. So yeah, said praise, said, hey, Do you guys see, hope I don't take it. Was the Gray Man?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
I haven't seen it completely. Like, I saw bits and pieces of it. Like, I've tried to watch it twice, but, yeah, I haven't had a, like, solid viewing yet, you know. Yeah. Niggas fucks with it, but, you know.
Really? Because I liked it, but everybody I heard that saw a joint said it was trash, huh? I was like, what did I miss, huh? Got a whole bunch of fucking action, and I thought it was good, you know?
Nah, a lot of people we follow on Twitter were slicing that joint, you know?
For real? Tight, you know? Because, you know, it's done okay numbers on Netflix, but it hasn't really killed it like, you know, some of the other originals in the past 2 years. But I'm like, it's because it's not as many people at home, you know? Just like that whole fucking exaggeration of, like, Netflix about to tank. Like, on the way of Netflix tanking, HBO Max about to fucking collapse. And out of all the streaming services, you combine all them shits, Netflix had, like, double all them joints combined. I'm like, y'all think this shit about to be over? I'm like, nah, man. It's just, they had such a fucking head start on everyone that when they shit came down, everybody started panicking, you know? But man, Netflix ain't going nowhere, you know? Like,
shit, mainly just, them.
They just threw a fucking, like, I forgot how many billion dollars at a whole bunch of new Korean projects, too, you know? Like, yeah, they good. Which leads me into, have either one of y'all niggas seen Carter?
Carter? Nah.
Mm-mm.
Carter.
What the fuck is that?
Nigga.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
So, Saturday night, young, it was between Carter and Prey.
Now, hold on, Tom. Are you saying Carter like Jimmy Carter or Carter like Welcome Back, Mr. Carter?
Jimmy Carter, nigga.
Okay.
Carter. It's a Korean, I don't know what the fuck to call shit. It's an action flick, young. So.
Okay.
So, this dude has to basically fucking rescue this kid and bring him back to his father. But nigga, it's so many elements of this fucking movie. Like halfway through the movie, it takes a fucking, I don't even want to give it away, but a complete 90 degree turn. You know? Like, you don't know what's going on, but if you love our joints, like, you know, The Raid and shit like that, you'll love this movie. You know? It's nonstop action from the very beginning. I mean, like, 10 minutes into the movie, it's a fucking one-shot slaughter in a damn Korean bathhouse, Sean. And at that point, I started Googling to see how much this damn movie cost, Sean, because the stunts in this joint are crazy. It's fucking airplane fights, fights on bikes, it's fights everywhere except for in space, Sean. It is absolutely crazy. Top 10 action flicks I've ever seen in terms of the amount of action, y'all. You know? Like, 5 minutes into a movie, you start and you really don't stop until the end. Hot fire, y'all. Five fireballs.
So, where you seeing that?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Carter.
All right.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, though. So just suspend anything, you know, resembling reality when you're watching this shit, because yeah, the stunts are just ridiculous. You're gonna be sucking your teeth a good 3 to 5 times in the first 90 minutes, you know? So after you get over that and say, you know, they just doing ridiculous shit, you know, just like The Raid, you know, just like fucking Tony Jaa movies and shit, man. But the fucking action sequences are so damn good, you know. And these fucking Koreans have such sick minds, you know. Like, some of the shit that they thought of in this show, like, man, Americans ain't this imaginative, you know? We can't fuck with them. And they know art, Sean? Man, please. Not a chance, Sean.
Yeah, they do horror and martial arts pretty good, yeah.
Dog. Oh, man, Michael Coulter pop up in this joint for, like, 5 minutes for no fucking reason, too, you know? I'm like, oh shit, he about to come back at the end and shit, man. Like, nigga, He got his check and rolled, you know.
Tight.
So, yeah.
He got his ass kicked?
No, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He came in and turned his nose up at everybody and rolled out before people started getting fucked up, man. I said, huh. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Got a free trip to North Korea, yeah. 5 minutes of work. Good for him.
Right.
All right. What you watching, Bob?
I'm all caught up on Better Call Saul. That joint good. It's just, you know, kind of closing the circle on the whole Breaking Bad saga. Pretty much the show has been about showing what Saul was about before, you know, Jesse and Walt, and after everything went to shit. That's the part we're on now. Like, that's pretty much been like the last couple of episodes, and the season has been leading up to that. So yeah, he's on the run. Everyone's either dead or in jail from that whole network. And yeah, it's just showing like how Jimmy's, you know, he got like this lust for conning people. And if he's not applying that in a courtroom or, you know, in a legal context, he's like out conning, he's back to out conning people in the street. And yeah, he's about to get caught and arrested because he's been under a new alias now. He's not Saul Goodman anymore. Like, I forgot the name he's taking on now, but he got involved with some dunce. And Carol Burnett plays the dude's mom. She's like his elderly mother. And yeah, I was happy to see Carol Burnett. It took for a minute for it to click. I was like, who's this old lady? I know I've seen her somewhere. But yeah, man, Carol Burnett plays Jimmy's partner, mom.
She had a broom, yeah?
Nah, no broom, no Tarzan yell. She just she just acting, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. We old as shit. It's only a few of us gonna get that, yeah.
Dog, I'm sitting here, I had y'all on mute, yeah, and I'm sitting here like, dog, god damn, we old, man. You making that broom, yo?
No house dressing bonnet in?
Yeah, bro. That shit. Yeah. She definitely made me sit back, and I was like, whoa, like, Carol Burnett's still alive? Yeah, I'm old as shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, she beasted on this joint, yeah. She called she clicked her motherfucking life alert button and got somebody on the intercom and snitched on this nigga, you know? And he ran out the door, you know? I was cracking
life up. Life alert, yeah?
Nigga, I was cracking up, you know? I said, fuck you, Carol.
Oh, man. That's a new level of snitching, you know?
Ain't it, you know? He said, don't press that button. He said, don't do it. Yeah, she pressed that button. She say, well, the lady on the other end of the call was like, so and so, are you okay? Did you fall? And she was like, no, there's an intruder in my house and he's threatening me. He's a criminal and he's a wanted man. His name is Saul Goodman. And that nigga ran away, you know. He booked it out that house, you know. So yeah, I think next week is the final episode, you know. It's tight, you know. It's a great show, you know.
He ran out of there like you running from the jizz on the trail.
AC and Kenny Albers. I was thinking, I was like, dog, this is about to be another 30 minutes quick session.
Yeah, I'll post that pic for y'all tomorrow to get at some context. But yeah, some nigga, I was on the trail, man. This nigga came out the woods, y'all, and with a goddamn I forgot the what's the dress you call? It's not a kimono. What the fuck is the dress you call? Like a samurai skirt, you know? Whatever that is, you know? And yeah, he just had the skirt on, you know? Like nothing up top. What'd you call that nigga, Tone? Like Jerry Rice? He was just shaped like Jerry Rice, you know? But yeah, dog. He walked out the bushes in slow motion, y'all. Nigga ain't make no noise or nothing. Like, yeah. And just got on the trail and started walking. And so I texted the fellas and I was like, yeah, man, this nigga scared the shit out of me, yeah. I don't know where he came from. He just walked from the riverbank through the woods, through the bushes, and started walking on the trail. Like, yeah, I belong here too. And I'm looking at him like, nigga, no, you don't.
So yeah, he did reverse bushes, and he was like the motherfucking the Far Side video going forward. Yeah, he just came out the bushes, young, the other way.
Let me find out, you know, he a motherfucking zombie samurai. You know, he's supposed to be over there dead. You know,
he's supposed to be dead, young.
Bruh.
Did you ever look at his face, young?
Fuck no. I was behind him and I stayed behind him, yeah.
Hey, Kenny, if he had turned around and started smiling like Michael Jackson in Thriller, yeah.
Go ahead, yeah.
Sam would have been running that way, yeah.
Shit, as much as I've seen that trailer for that movie, that horror movie about smiling, yeah, if he'd have smiled like that, I'd have ran hard as shit, yeah.
Them sweatpants would have been swishing, young.
Oh, no, I ain't got no shit like Dave, young. Dave got the swishing Moss Brown joints, young. He's an asshole.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is some wild shit, though.
Yeah, it really fuck with me, young.
Dressed crazy at that, yeah.
But yeah, he it was fine. That nigga, it had the nerve to just be on the phone. Like, ugh. Yeah. Anyway, I think the nigga had an earpiece in. Yeah. He's a wild boy, you know. That's all I can say about it, you know.
Had that earpiece like number one dad. Emmett Father, you know.
Child with that Darnell, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, I was talking about Better Call Saul. But yeah, yeah, it's a great show, yeah. Yeah, they doing the character justice, and like I said, they closing the loop on the whole story. I don't need any more Breaking Bad universe after that, yeah. Because with this show, they fit in Saul and Giancarlo's character. Like, there was a lot about, what was his name? Do y'all remember? I forgot. Anyway, there's a lot about Giancarlo's character and the character Mike, the fixer, that, you know, he hired to, like, handle all his business and who Walt ended up, spoiler, who Walt ended up killing. But yeah, it's a great show, man. Like, but we done. We don't need no more. Don't be like motherfucking 50 and start trying to have a backstory for all the characters and shit, you know. me and my niece still that we still mad that goddamn Raising Kanan season 2.
For real. You know what? I did see something. Ain't that nigga Reggie from Ballers on that joint? wasn't his name Reggie? The nigga who was the big ass dumb lineman's handler and shit. What's his name, Reggie?
His name was Reggie on the show, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a nigga that looked like him with a flat top, you know, on some little web ad and shit. And I'm like, and it was for Raising Kanan. I know it was, well, I guess it was season two, whatever. So I was like, that's nigga Reggie from Ballers, huh? Unless it's a new character. Oh shit, Sam dropped off for a second. Yeah, but I thought I saw him. So I talked about Carter, I talked about The Gray Man. What else I watched? It's a documentary. I'm not sure if it's on HBO or Showtime. Dang, I say, I don't know which one it is, but it's called Milestone Generations, and it's about the Black comic company that I didn't know was even started in the 90s. I thought it started earlier than that, so they really accomplished a lot in a short time. But they were responsible for like Static Shock and Black Lightning, and at the time I guess their main character was Icon as like the Black Superman or whatever. And just like told a story about how, you know, four dudes who love comics came together and formed their own company, and within a few years they were being distributed by DC, and then DC soon enough like you know, started incorporating the characters into their universe. And I remember back in the 90s, like, you know, X-Men was a big, you know, cartoon everybody watched or whatever, but then Static Shock got placement on the WB. And you know, I talked before about how Dwayne McDuffie got me into, like, you know, watching the DC cartoons when they started doing like the Justice League universe on Cartoon Network. And yeah, man, it's a real cool documentary about how you know, these brothers like really got this shit popping in a short ass time. It's narrated by Method Man. He and that joint in a motherfucking college shirt, sweating real good. But yeah, man, real dope documentary, man. Check it out. Bobby, you back?
Yeah, my bad. You know, I don't know why this thing keeps switching networks, but
delete that network.
I was pretty much done. So what was this? Yeah. Yeah, I'm scared too, you know, because I ain't gonna have no motherfucking choice. But whatever. What was y'all talking about?
I was talking about a documentary on, it's either on HBO or Showtime called Milestone Generations, and it's for it's about the Black comic company that four brothers put together back in the early 90s, and how quickly got picked up by DC and incorporated into their universe. And it's narrated by Method Man. I think it's funded by the health organization Ally, because they keep on showing that fucking Ally graphic every time they introduce like a new person to the documentary or whatever. So I guess it's some type of diversity, you know, outreach program that they had with their company, whatever, to fund this joint. But real good doc, man. Really gives you a whole bunch of insight into how much it goes into getting to an industry where it's really no Black people at the time. And they got to tell their stories, and it kind of like ends with them, you know, a lot, three of the principals, because Dwayne McDuffie passed early 2000s, but the other three guys, like, you know, relaunching the comic brand and just bringing a whole bunch of younger talent, you know, some HBCU program that they had, and they have some guys from Morehouse that are on staff now. So real cool, man, to get some brothers up in this industry, man. Obviously, one of the first things that they were told was that, you know, Black people won't either buy comics or go to see, you know, or watch films and TV shows, but we've seen that debunked over the past decade. So, yeah.
Like,
Alright, KB, what else we got here, man? Alright, KB, I'm gonna try to bring you back in, y'all. Last season was kind of a dud, but I just watched that first episode of Love & Hip Hop ATL.
You know what? They haven't seen it yet.
Alright, KB. It's time to come back home.
Y'all. It's time to come back. What's Jock girl name again?
I just watched it too, y'all. But
I seen the trailer and I saw her crying. That's all, you know.
Hey, I'm about to say, it don't matter because she ain't nobody.
See?
Kendra, right?
Kendra. Yes, Kendra.
That sound right. Yeah. So, this joint starts with him saying he want to get married, you know. They planned the wedding. They were going to do it, you know, on the island somewhere. But, you know, all these variants, yeah. So, he's like, yeah, we're going to do it in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing real happy. He had his guys, you know, getting fitted for their fucking tuxes and shit, man. And, find out, it's like three new characters there who, he's still been fucking through the pandemic and shit, man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I guess one of these ladies is going to pop up at the wedding and say that, she had a pandemic break baby by him, man.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah. Hey, man. Jock back being Jock, man. Like, you know, Rich makes a little appearance there. Safari, he said he's public enemy number one at this point. Cause he said women be stopping him in the airport. Asking him why he won't take care of his kids. Yeah, he's like, what, the bumper clock? We got him. Rashida gonna meet her birth father, and she gonna tell him to get the hell out the house, and Charlene gonna say, oh no, baby. You can say what you want about Love & Hip Hop, yeah. Them super trailers, dog. They be doing their job.
They do the job. They make you want to come on in.
Between them and the WWE and them packages, young. So, man. But here's the thing, young. These chicks are getting old, young. And I've always wondered. Well, at least for the past 20 years, how niggas with a whole bunch of fucking tattoos gonna look when they get old, and these women with these big ass jobs gonna look when they get old, you know? I'm starting to see it. Like, Erica Mena, like, her face, like you wanna talk about some motherfucking work done, you know? You can tell she's had work done to her face, but the bottom of her face is like caving in. It's weird, man. It's like this bitch sipping lane with Jewels, man. What's going on here, man?
That's not a good look. You see that movie? She got a movie coming out. What's the name of that? It's like Stepmom or something. Like she played like a crazy stepmother or something.
Hold up, man. Erica Mena?
Dog. This joint showed up, I want to say, on my YouTube homepage or something. And I'm like, what is this? Why is this on here? And I kept looking at it. I'm like, she looks familiar. But I couldn't really tell if it really was her. And I looked at it, and I'm pretty sure that was her, you know?
Nah, bro.
I'm going to send it to you.
Since you said, I'm sure it'll pop up on my YouTube algo. Since they don't be listening.
Yep, here it is. Yeah, that joint is on. It's a Tubi original, you know.
It's a Tubi, okay.
Yeah, the stepmother.
Yeah, that sound like it. Either had to be Tubi or Prime, man.
Yeah, Marcus Houston in this shit.
Gosh.
Yeah, you got it. You know, there it is.
Hey, y'all. Why are the two Sams in the chat, you know? My screen got two Sams on here. Yeah. Hopefully, this don't fuck up the recording. Oh no, you left and you came back, and then I couldn't hear anything, and then when you came back again I saw two of them, so it's like you logged in twice without logging out of one. I don't know. Yeah, can you? Sound is still in and out. Is that way for you too, KB?
Say it again, Tom.
Is Sam's sound in and out?
Still? I can't even hear him.
Yeah. This is a fucking disaster, man. Yeah. Alright, let's try to get through it though. You might want my drop off, Sam, because we really can't hear you, bro. And hopefully this joint doesn't screw up. But we'll see. Yeah, KB, like, the picture you just sent of her in this movie, like, she looks way better than she does on this TV show, yeah.
Okay.
It's like
well, who knows when this was filmed? So this could have been 2-3 years ago. Who knows? But
it's true. Yeah, it probably. Just thinking about things now, like, yeah, it probably wasn't filmed during COVID. So
right.
Yeah. But yeah, man. This season is looking promising, you know.
I'm gonna check it out. Atlanta is the one I will always. Atlanta, New York, I will always give a shot.
Yeah. This man, Sierra on here whine, crying already. Like, hate to, like, you know, poke at her and her kind, young. But for a woman to always claim all she wants is a good man, she get the man, and now she driving crazy, young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She got $1 million house, and she begged him to let her decorate the house. 4 months later, ain't nothing done, y'all. And he like, man, what the fuck? And she's like, you just gotta let me. Like, nigga, I let you for 4 months, ain't nothing done, y'all. But that's his fucking fault, though, so.
She started doing that cry thing she do?
Oh, yeah, y'all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dog, I can't differentiate between her crying voice and the regular voice at this point.
Yeah.
She almost as bad as your girl, young. Who's the girl came on crying? I just can't get over what you're doing to me.
That was Jock Girl. That was Jock Girl, like season 2, season 3.
Yeah. She approaching that.
Hey, that's not good.
With them big nails, you know. Hey, dog. It was an opening scene where they were like, it's some, like, young rapper girl on this joint, whatever. So, at her performance or whatever, you know. And I'm like, you know what? You know, this is why I can't live in Atlanta, you know. I like nice clothes. Everybody knows that, you know. Fashionable guy. They are some label whores.
Whores. Whores.
Dog. Whores. The whole scene. Nigga, enough Gucci monograms to make you go blind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gucci, Fendi, Burberry, like, you can run down the line. It's a European runway, dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dog, just too much. Enough, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, you know.
It's like if I was in here cooking Wagyu every night, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We call this Tuesday, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. Wagyu sliders, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Truffle sprouts, you know. Mm-hmm. Tuesday.
Tuesday, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
dog, just every fucking label, you know.
Yeah.
Hey girl, oh, you look cute. Mm-hmm. She look like a fucking mannequin, what she look like. Get the fuck out of here. Like, no imagination.
Nothing. As long as it's a bag, is a certain brand, the shoes, all, yeah, that's all that matter, you know. Shit don't got to look good on it. It really got no nothing. They don't got to go together, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody got them dumb ass tennis shoes with them motherfucking special needs soles on them, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm like, y'all short ass niggas look at least 6 feet now, you know? Like, I know George Costanza was slamming them motherfucking a cat sandwich, you know?
Yeah,
I hate them dumb ass shoes. Young.
Yeah.
So this joint good. It's gonna be a lot of breakups and shit this season. Like that catch,
yeah. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld lately too. You know, I had to watch the episode The Bubble Boy. You know. Mm. Yeah. You said joy. It just made me think of that, you know. Just comedy don't get much better than that, you know.
It really don't.
Don't, you know. The mooks, you know, they don't get better than that, you know.
The mooks? Didn't Kramer call that baby ugly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad all my friends have adorable kids, young, because I'd be smiling, young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, should I get away with a Kramer right here?
Mm-hmm.
Throwing out a head first like motherfucking Jazzy Jeff from my house and shit, young.
You yeah. said that about the baby.
Yeah. Alright, see, yeah, Bar and I get on the shot next week because it's a lot to unpack there. Oof, it's a lot. Kenny, man, I'm so angry you don't watch the show, yeah.
No, I caught it off the humble. I don't even know how I saw it, like why I was watching it. It just happened to be on, I think. And I saw parts of an episode and I was like, you know what, this seemed kind of interesting. All right. The thing about the show is, correct me if I'm wrong, I just remember Common being in it at one point, and that's when I kind of bailed.
Nah, he was a minor character, and he was in and out.
Yeah, I remember just him being on, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this show. So, I got out then. But yeah, the episode that I saw, I was like, you know what? This old, yeah, I see why, you know, y'all are into it or whatever, so.
In this season, like, you know, at first people was hating this shit, because there are some, like, at the beginning of this season, it was a little, it drug a little bit because they were trying to push this political angle on us and shit, man, from a couple of different, you know, perspectives, whatever. So I can see that, but they kind of settled into the storylines. And, yeah, man, this season, young, they are featuring our dog Weave, young. Weave Dog is a featured character this season, young.
Mm hmm.
He met a chick, whatever, you know. He just went to meet her family for the first time. Her bougie-ass sister or cousin was like, you went to jail? And, he told her ass off, as classy as a Chicago convict can do that. And, yeah, her father fucked with him because he stood for himself. So I was like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they said, like, this shit is just too good to be true, young. He about to get killed in the alley, and I'm gonna be bad. So, trying to prepare myself for that. But right now, Weave Dog coming through. You know, he saved this young boy from ruining his life by sticking up a rib spot and shit, man. He talked to him like, "Nah, but young brother, that ain't the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do better. Mm-hmm. I did better. Mm-hmm. You can do better."
See, I saw the episode that I saw. He was like in the kitchen. And it was like a young dude that was kind of messing with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot weed was at my, like, that's the thing, you know. Sometimes you just gotta let me know, you know, like calming out, weaving. Like, if I knew that, I'd have been in fucking three seasons ago.
Yeah, Common's character, it was kind of like that Randy Moss celebration. We kind of like poked through the window, young, and mm-hmm. then tucked back out, young. Like, yeah. That was Common's role in this joint, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tuck and roll, yeah. Yep, but, oh, shit, man. You got a whole season where, what's the name, made a quick cameo, too, the Brat.
She was, okay.
Like, last season, yeah, man. She smashed one of the dude's mother who's like bisexual.
Okay.
So yeah, saw them cakes, you know, for a second, you know.
Okay. Yeah. The Brat always had apple cakes. Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen her wife?
I think I have. Yeah, like somewhere, like on Twitter, somebody posted a picture of them together.
Dog. She looks like somebody took a whole bunch of blow-up balloons, you know,
and
a big ass, two balloons, that's the ass, two breasts, that's the the breasts,
mm-hmm.
and a head, you know, and mm-hmm. that's the body, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're happy, happily married.
That's all that matters, man.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Lisa Ray somewhere with my fucking lips poked out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Let me get a BP headline sites of the week. This is a couple weeks ago. They tried to make this shit sound dramatic. It said, Sway Lee gets rescued after being stuck in an elevator. I'm like, is that news where everything got stuck in the elevator? He got to get rescued? Like, it's gonna be an episode of Third Watch, young. It's like craning in and shit, young. Get a nigga from an elevator.
See, it depends how long you've been in that elevator, though, you know.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, but that's kind of sound funny to me. And the other one. Today I read this. Fetty Wap arrested for threatening someone over FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't Fetty Wap year, dog. Really ain't been in his year since 2000.
That's about to say, man. Hey, I don't really hear too much from that guy.
Yeah, but he got arrested for some motherfucking for transporting drugs first, but then, like, you going to jail for threatening somebody with FaceTime, young? Like, man, niggas ain't safe no more, dog. If that's the bar now, young, I be seeing these little drill New York and Jacksonville niggas threatening niggas over FaceTime every day, young. So, might want to watch out for that. All right.
Speaking of the Shad, the episode I saw, Iman Shumpert was in it. Didn't this nigga just get stopped at the airport with like 30 pounds or something? Like, I know that's a sight, but it was a lot of weed, you know?
I'm not sure how much it was, but yeah, he definitely got stopped at the airport with some weed. So, as I understand it, like, he was going someplace where it was legal. I'm not sure about that mountain shit, but he was flying from someplace where weed was legal, and then he was going someplace where it was legal. But I think on his layover, or he got like rerouted somewhere, and where he stopped or whatever, it wasn't legal, and that's how they got him.
Yeah, it was 6 ounces. Yeah, 6 ounces. Yeah, that's still a considerable amount trying to fly with.
Yeah, that's not very smart to fly with.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where he was flying, but I would like to think that he got enough paper that he can figure something out, you know. Like, you don't gotta fly with it, you know.
Yeah, even if you like bought too much and shit, young, like, you know, you're supposed to leave that there. And just get some more where you're going.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I heard the report says it's also had a magazine with 14 rounds and his backpack with no gun was found. Yeah, man. I just don't understand that, you know, but yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be illegal in the first damn place, but knowing that it still is, dog, like, I understand, like, how things should be. You know, there's a whole lot of people right now who are making a whole lot of money selling marijuana legally. So to see somebody still getting, you know, stopped, whatever, but yeah, you just gotta know better than that. Come on, yo.
Yeah. Shit. Before even reading that joint and having someone break it down, I didn't even know that you could even go to the airport with anything, yo. But in some states you can, apparently. I was like, yeah, I'm black, yo. I'm not risking that, man.
Yeah.
Alright, so, yeah, let's get to your week in racism, wake your ass up update.
Yeah, I don't got one this week, but I will say that, yeah, where I moved to, I was looking for, a place to go get something to eat around where I live at, and, you know, you go on Yelp, and he's looking for them, you know, see something I got at least, well, you know, 3.5-4 stars at least, you know what I mean, good number of reviews, so it was like this little breakfast spot down the street. So I said, you know, before I go up there, let me check around, you know, see what it look like inside and all that. I'm glad I did, you know, because apparently they got like this big ass painting of Robert E. Lee in that joint. I was like, mm-mm. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hey, you know what they've been playing when you walk in that joint?
What's that? Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling.
Beam, 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 beam. Tommy, no.
Beam, beam, beam. Yeah. Hey, y'all, these stupid as shit. When I say you go to the left, you can go to the left.
Oh, man. You ever heard of a banjo scratching when you walking through the door? You know? Bing! Bing! Doing a broke. Bing!
Yeah. Oh, I said, ask me, I wanted a black Russian, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I ain't doing that, you know, so needless to say, I ain't go, you know, but I actually do want to go in and just take a picture of that shit, you know, like.
Yeah, okay, you know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I told you, like I told Baldwin, he was taking a picture of Black Samurai, you know, like, man, you lucky that motherfucker shutter didn't go off.
Yeah.
That camera shutter always go off when you don't want it to, you know.
Yeah.
Never make a sound, you know. You try to get a creep shot in there.
Like, damn, nigga, it make the sound of flash go off. shit that you forgot was on that motherfucker. All of a sudden, you try to take a creep shot. Yeah, you know.
The light blink. Yeah. Oh, shit. It's like, you never did this before.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I also, when I went to the, there's a mall right across the street, you know. Mm-hmm. Man, I was sitting in the car. I went and got something to eat and sit back in the car. And I was waiting for, like, it was like this little line of cars, like, that was behind me. Shit, waiting for them to move. And all of a sudden, this white lady, for some reason, was walking and stopped at my car and read my motherfucking license plate for like 2 minutes, you know. And I said, they looking really been like, are you for real? Yeah, welcome, I'm the only South. Nigga in the state that got Merlin tags and a Hampton University alumni little joint around it. Yeah, yeah, that's me. But you gonna stop and read my shit?
Yeah. Looking like the fuzz out there, yeah.
Yeah, man. Other than that, though, man, people are really nice, though, yeah. I say that, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the South.
Yeah. Man, the South like shit, man.
Bit more hospitable, but then you got those pockets, Sean.
Right.
Pockets of people. Okay. I think I had something from a couple weeks ago about Sam Dobbins, the former Lexington police chief, calling tape for bragging about shooting black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Among others, he said he shot a he claimed to have shot a man 119 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they voted him out, but it was a 3-2 count. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Apparently, yeah, that's not a deal breaker.
Now, if, had he been shot 120 times, then maybe.
Right. You know, right. Yeah.
That's the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Shoot, I guess we'll wait for Bob for some outrage. I don't really have any.
Yo, I'm back. I don't know if y'all can hear me though.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been sitting here scared to move. You know. I'm serious. You know. Did y'all want to? Well, yeah, I think it came out after we recorded last week. Will Smith's apology.
By yeah. You said Will Smith what?
Same, you went in and out. I can't understand. Say that again.
Try one more time. Alright. Yeah. We don't get this this 5G Wi-Fi thing, because that's what it is, you know? It's just switching networks, and it's not staying on one. Like, I had a similar problem. I was going to Xfinity Wi-Fi years ago, whatever. I just had to fucking delete that shit and reset my computer and shit, man. So hopefully we can get that straight soon. But Kenny, you said you didn't have any outrage.
Nah, not really. Other than, Fox News, Newsmax, they almost imploded the other day. Yeah. Other than that, man.
Yeah. I think my little bit of outrage, and I didn't see people outraged about it, which made me outraged. These fucking news outlets didn't completely vet this shit, and they killed my man Tony Dow a day premature, yeah?
I saw that. See, I don't know if somebody from his camp maybe fed somebody information a little too soon, because it wasn't a day. Like, he was officially announced dead. I believe it was the same day. I just think that it was somebody in his camp jumped the gun and leaked the news to the news outlets. I just think that they knew that he probably wasn't going to survive the day.
Mm-hmm.
They probably just didn't want it out as early as they did, maybe. Because, again, like, they announced that, like, yeah, he had died. I thought it was the same day. Now, you're saying it was the next. It could have been.
Well, they officially announced it the next day, and that was right after I got an alert saying that, you know, reports that Tony Dow, for those who don't know, was Wally from Leave the Beaver, right. Beaver's brother, whatever, had passed, and that was, like, premature or whatever. And then a few hours later, then they said that he actually did pass. And I'm like, dog, this is DMX all over again, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who's the motherfucking Lunel that fucking leaked this shit early and was wrong? But maybe he did pass, but the family just wasn't ready to, you know, announce it. And, you know, they cooked up whoever leaked that shit prematurely and said that they were, you know, lying, basically. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace to Wally, though.
Absolutely. You know what that made me think of, though, you know, like you said, rest in peace to that dude. I'm not trying to make light of his death, you know. But you know how we think, you know. So, of course, you know, you mentioned Leave It to Beaver, you know, that made me think of Rome.
Rome?
Yeah, Jim Rome, when he had that damn, he was talking about Pete Gillen, you know. When Pete Gillen said that Duke is Duke, they on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns. Man. Rome cooked that shit for 15 minutes, John. Duke is Duke. They on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns. Hey, man, oh man, you know. Classic Jim Rome is nothing better, you know. Nothing better, you know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure it's on YouTube, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Rome, yeah. Leave It to Beaver, you know, yeah. And enjoy.
Yeah. Followed by a call from Stevie Carbone, you know. Hey, now we got some characters who email us, Sean. His callers,
yes. Yes, indeed.
Bro. Half the motherfuckers was high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Goodness grief, man.
Man, Rome cooked that beaver. Man, I can Man.
Oh, so good. All right, what do I have entertainment wise, man? Before I even get to that, like, damn, bye and all, you know. So, you know, y'all be in them spaces listening to Tariq and shit, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So,
cooking, by the way, yes, absolutely.
Occasionally, when I hop on Twitter, you know, I can see what's name, my man Ronnie is in all them damn boxing spaces and shit, right? Mm-hmm. So, I was none the wiser, young, until Gooch let me know this nigga was in a boxing space fucking arguing with Leonard Ellerbe, young.
See,
20 minutes.
See what I'm saying, young? See what I'm saying, young? Young.
Hey, young. Yeah, your man ain't sharp, though. I'm
about to say, yeah. He ain't sharp. What the hell is he arguing with Leonard Ellerbe about, man?
Anything and everything, young. Dog, that's some shit. Like, until you hear it, dog, my fucking imagination can go anywhere, dog. He can be arguing with that nigga about the Matrix, you know? I don't know, dog. I don't know, young. It's Ronnie, young. Probably his makeshift command center. Oh, man. I say, man, why was Leonard even engaging this dude, you know? It's right. Probably because that nigga was probably terrorizing that damn chat, you know? Mm-hmm. So, let me set this young boy straight here.
Yeah. Little did he know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, since you want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah. I need that audio, young. Alright. So what else is going on? Man, I guess we found out that Kevin Samuels died from fucking hypertension, man.
Yeah, not surprising. Man.
Like, he was drinking them fucking Red Bulls every time I saw him on TV, huh? Hey, my bad. I don't mean to gloss over this. Fuck all that. Have you seen that fucking IG live of Gilbert invading Swaggy P's house, Sean?
No, I don't think I saw it, no.
Kenny, it's like 13 minutes, Sean. It's so good, Sean. He walked in on 10, Sean. Hey, baby, what's going on, y'all? Hey, family. Right away, Sean. Nick's little daughter, Sean. Terrified. Nick smiling, Sean. You know, last time we seen him, it birthed the classic meme and gif of Nick like, nigga, where you coming from, bro?
Yeah.
Right? So then Nick's son got some glasses on. And you know how, like, you know, your boys have kids and shit, and, you know, like, you know, you see him like, oh, nigga, Uncle Tony come, you know, try punch you in the leg and shit, punch you in the arm and all that shit, right? Being combative and shit, whatever. Man, Gil ain't having none. They like, nigga, you supposed to address me, young, when I come into the room. So Nick's son comes like he wants some smoke with Gil, young. Gil picks up a fucking pillow and clocks this nigga and knocks him down and shit, right? So then, you know, Nick's like, go ahead, man, go ahead. Like, nah, that little nigga came with me, man. I'm gonna teach him a lesson. So he's like, man, I hope you learn your lesson now, so we good, right? That little nigga come back for Gil Young. He hit this nigga so hard with his pillow, Young, he broke his glasses. Nigga fell down, started crying. Little baby girl started crying and shit. Nigga's like, bruh! And Gil's like, nah, it's not my fault, Young.
Yeah.
Man. Them niggas run back to the room and shit. Gil like, man, fuck these little niggas, man. He opened the motherfucker in the refrigerator, like, man, he looked at these soldiers and like, nah, fuck that, I'm gonna fuck these niggas juice up, you know. He cracked open the motherfucking six pack of high C, you know, and started drinking juice, you know.
Yeah.
They came back with Nerf guns, you know. He's about to fuck that little boy up again, you know. They started talking shit like, yeah, he gonna be some shit in basketball anyway. He's like, he gonna fuck your son up. He like, nigga, he wear glasses. He ain't gonna fuck nothing up, you know? He just carrying that little nigga right in his face, you know? And I'm like, dog, these niggas need a fucking a reality show, dog. Like, Kenny, you gonna be crying for 13 minutes, you know?
Send me the clip. Can you send it to me?
Yeah. Right. You don't care nothing about these kids, you know? Nothing, you know? You know how they used to say Lloyd Banks used to be hard on them hoes, young?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gil hard on them kids, young.
Yeah.
So good. Well, biggest news of the past, two, 3 days, the past day is the Breakfast Club is disbanding.
Nah, they're not disbanding.
Well, Angela Lee.
Yeah, she just leaving.
Yeah, you know. They can say what they want, but that shit was a done deal when Charlamagne ain't standing for her, when Gucci's talking about fucking her and shit, man. You know. You don't get over things like that. But she didn't. And then you can see soon thereafter, man, like, you know, all three of them weren't there for certain interviews and shit, man. It's kind of like, you know, kind of going through the motions. I didn't know they had that long of a run, though, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been on them for a minute.
Yeah, man, and they've all become, like, you know, really successful in their own right, so they're going to all be good,
mm-hmm.
You know. We talked about Deezus and Meryl a couple of weeks ago, like, you know, their future's a little bit more up in the air, but like, all three of these folks have, like, other ventures, like, cemented in the entertainment industry, so they'll all be good. So, good luck to her, man. And it'll be interesting to see who they bring in, if anybody, to fill that third seat.
Apparently, yeah, they are going to bring another female co-host, and apparently Annie Lee is going to have a hand in picking her successor, so we'll see who it is.
Oh, where? Okay. All right. Tight.
I would honestly think that somebody like Amanda Seals would be a natural for a position like that, but we'll see. Just because I know that she's, you know, friends with Charlamagne, so. Or somebody like Angela Rye, I don't know what she's doing. I think she's doing stuff with ESPN now on the morning shows, if I'm not mistaken, but maybe somebody like her, but. Because I think that show now, it has, like, the. Like, it has, like, cachet now, so, like. You know, they can definitely pull somebody to be on that joint.
Yeah. I actually wouldn't mind Angela Rye. I'm not sure what she would do for the comedy. But then, you know, he really wasn't there for the comedy. She was
right. Exactly. She was the straight person on the show. Yeah.
But she did have them fucking, like, you know, those, the room report, like, you know, the ratchetosity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. Gotta find somebody to get that that element, you know. Alright, what else we got here? Talked about Deshaun Watson. Now whether he is a serial perv is kind of up in the air, maybe, but they're saying at least his shit wasn't violent. Mystical is a serial rapist, and he's going away for a long time, apparently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a problem that, you know, I mentioned to Sean, because something that didn't happen with Mystical, and I don't see happening with Deshaun, even though, you know, they're different crimes or whatever. I don't hear anybody talking about rehabilitation. You know, it's just about punishment. So, if people are doing things multiple times, you know, and they're not going to therapy, they're not, you know, going to rehabilitation or whatever, it's going to happen again, you know. Why is nobody talking about rehabilitating these people? Like, how many open cases did Deshaun have at his height then? Like, wasn't it like 20-something?
I think it was in the 20s, yeah.
Yeah. He needs to sit down and talk to somebody to realize he got a problem.
Yeah,
somebody professional. Not his agent. Not his man's. Not his owner. Not even the commissioner, you know? Like, he needs to talk to a fucking professional, or this going to happen again. And maybe that's why Mystical is back in jail again, because he didn't, like, you know, don't talk to me about no more fucking community service, you know? I'm so tired of fucking community service.
No, that's why you got good lawyers, man. That's what good lawyers are for, dog. Get you community service, man.
Yeah, young, but
I probably wouldn't get community service, but then again,
yeah. You wouldn't have a chance, young.
Right.
Yeah, so. Yeah, just keep that in mind when this shit happen, pops up again, young. And niggas talking about, like, yeah, what could we have done? Yeah, I don't want to hear that shit. A couple of interviews this week. Have you seen any of the Irv Gotti clips on
I've avoided that shit. I don't really care, you know, to be honest. I get how people are saying, like, dog, at some point you just need to leave that woman alone, let her live her life. But then again, like, I just don't watch that show and all that shit. So I haven't really been keeping up with it, but if, you know, what I'm hearing is true. Like, yeah, he a lame for that shit. I agree 100%. I heard Fat Joe said some shit, but, you know, I didn't really get into it that deep, man. But
yeah, I was trying to avoid it, young, but I just kept on hearing so many different things. I'm like, you know what, young? it's easy for people to take shit out of context, so let me go ahead and take one for the team, you know, and watch this shit. So, it's still Nori, it's still annoying, but it's not as annoying because apparently he's not drinking as much right now. You know, lost a few pounds, I guess. He's doing Rock the Bells tour this summer or whatever, so I guess somebody told him he has to be in shape, or maybe he tried to perform somewhere, almost passed out, and realized that, you know, he can't be doing this drinking and still get this road money or whatever. So it's not as bad, he's not as belligerent and shit. Like, you know, the most belligerent person on his joint was Ja Rule, you know. He was just fucked up, you know. Irv was high as fuck, but you know, he kind of thrives doing that shit or whatever. So he was an asshole towards Ashanti. He used the word bitch a little bit too much or whatever, but you know, to be fair, in his defense, like, Nori was kind of egging it on and asking him follow-up questions about it and shit, and to a certain degree, man, he was just telling his truth, young. Now, his truth can certainly have been distorted or whatever, but he made some valid points, you know, like, you know, she didn't want to be with Murder, Inc. anymore, and I think that's completely within her right, because, you know, having watched the Supreme Team doc, and Nas did, like, while the feds were, you know, barking down on them, she stayed solid. She didn't waver at all, but once the fucking trial was over, it's like, I did my job, I don't want to be part of this shit anymore, and I'm good. And he was like, you know, we made you, we brought you into this shit and made you a star when you had failed on two of the labels, and you know, we didn't have to put you on these songs because they got anybody on these songs, and then made you one of the biggest stars in the world or whatever. And yeah, man, it's just you know, it's not staying solid like, you know, niggas would. And I'm like, she's a woman first of all, and then, you know, at the same time, man, she didn't want to be part of that shit anymore, so, like, it is what it is. But, you know, can't tell it to a nigga who got his mind made up or whatever. But in Irv's defense, though, man, like, I didn't know in Ashanti's case and Lloyd, he just let them out of their contracts. Like, you know, he's an asshole, but a supreme asshole and a supreme asshole as a businessman would never let commodities out of their contracts. Like, Puffy ain't doing that.
No, definitely not.
You know, so for her to want, you know, her, like, I guess he calls them stems, like, the tracks and the interpretations or whatever, because it's hard to redo your songs, kind of like what Taylor Swift is doing, whatever. Like, she wants her stems back, and he's like, nah, like, those belong to me. Like, I let you out of your fucking contract, you get to perform these damn songs and make money off them on tour, whatever, man, but you ain't getting these back. So, you know, it's a lot of other shit in there, too, but just as far as Fat Joe's concerned, he's mad because Irv was clowning how bad he got smoked by Ja Rule in that versus. That's all that's about, you know. Because for Joe to be this, like, man standing up for women and shit, you know, he called Vita and Lil Mo dusty bitches during that versus, you know. Mm. Yeah, so he's not no motherfucking chivalrous man coming to the rescue of Ashanti, you know. He just mad. Full of shit. So that's what that's about. Alright, guess Bob and I can talk about this Beyonce and Khalid shit next week. Don't need to unpack that right now. I think that's about it I have for entertainment, man. So yeah. Hopefully we can get Bob back next week and, like, read some of these emails then. But we got 2 hours out of this. I know KB is tired, in transition, a new place, working a new job, getting used to a new schedule. So, KB, let's get some shots and get up out here, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for everybody listening to the show as always. Real quick, didn't get to the emails this week. I know we got a little backlog here. One of them was from Sean. It's from last week. He said he was coming to DC and he was asking for some recommendations for black restaurants. My bad, bro. I didn't see it. He said he was staying downtown. Something that would have been great. I hope you enjoyed your time. And he said it was his first time there too, dog. So, yeah, man. We definitely didn't, you know, ignore it or nothing like that. Just, it's my first time looking at it, you know. So,
My bad, bro.
Yeah. My bad, dog. You know what I'm saying? You've been listening for a long time. Appreciate you. And, yeah, I wish I could help you out, man. But my world has just been hectic, man. I moved to a different state and whole new job and everything's just kind of crazy right now, man. So yeah, our bad on that one, bro. And we will definitely get to these emails next week. But I'm just haven't eaten since like earlier today, and I'm starving. So I gotta get something to eat. So once again, thanks for everybody listening to the show as always. You can follow us on social media at KBADS, that's KBADDS, at High Five Starter. If you got any questions, comments, send them to highfivestarter@gmail.com. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/highfivestarter. And we see y'all next week.
Yeah. If anybody's looking for a place to eat in D.C., my homeboy Vic, has a restaurant on 8th Street, in the 8th Street corridor, called Lydia on H. It's like a Caribbean, African, fusion restaurant. Really good drinks, too. They have a great brunch. A real, cool atmosphere downstairs. But upstairs, they have a speakeasy. They also often have performances there. They have, like, a back patio. It's kind of like a backyard. A real cool family environment, man. But, you know, don't bring your family. Don't bring kids, necessarily, because the joint does turn the fuck up. But, yeah. That's pretty cool. I just bought this book from young lady Tamika Hall. It's called Black Mixolence, and it's a book that celebrates spirits from black and brown people, featuring a whole bunch of black and brown spirits, like, you know, Uncle Nearest, and a whole bunch of other spirits, whatever. I'll talk about it more next week, but I just wanted to drop it drop it off real quick right here, because I just got the book. I'm still going through it, but it's very well done. Looks very classy. She's a photographer by trade, so, you know, that just lends to the visual aspect and aesthetic of the book, and it's a lot of cool stories in here too, and some really cool recipes as well. So I'll drop that again. Black Mixolence, it's available on Amazon. And I got mine early this week, and I love it. And took it to work early this week, and about, you know, showed it to a couple of people, and they already bought their copies also. And just something real cool and beautiful to have on, you know, your coffee table or as a gift. So, again, I'll drop it again next week. But other than that, appreciate you guys out there working with us, man. We're going through a hectic time in one way or another, all three of us. But we just wanted to get something out to you guys this week. And we'll hop you next week. It's FS Podcast, and we out.